Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
The show tonight, and one of those, of course, is on Blog Talk Radio. But there's other ways, such as on Facebook, and you will find this show on a list of other shows in the Conservative Conversation, and that way is through going to your web browser, or your search engine on your Facebook page and putting in Newt Now, which is one word, N-E-W-T-N-O-W. And you will find a series of shows on there, this one including. And you will also see Charlotte Dively's show, which is Pray USA, in which she prays, as it sounds, she prays for America in these grueling times that we find ourselves in, and also about the presidential race. And then, of course, as I mentioned, see Bard's Logic Political Talk, which is on there. And this shows from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday through Thursday. And her show is Monday through Friday, which starts at, I believe, 9 p.m. goes until 10. And then at 10 o'clock, you'll see Samuel Sanford's show on the Conservative Conversation. And his show runs from 10 p.m. to midnight, sometimes 1 a.m. And the name of this show is Constitutional Conservatives Unite. And then also between 10 and midnight, you could go in between the two groups, the two shows, through this group. And that is Mark Prasick's show, in which it is a live video chat. And one of the things about his show is that through the 10 to 12 o'clock time slot, the audience actually gets to help with the show prep, in which will be covered on the second installment of the show, which is held from midnight until 2 a.m., and that's great for all those night owls out there to go there. And then there's another way in which you can find Bard's Logic Political Talk, and that is through the Bard's Logic Web Political Talk website, which you can find on the homepage. On the homepage, you can find the link to the homepage of Talk Radio, and also you can find, of course, my Twitter account on there. And also, if you like the show, there is a follow button, and I'd really appreciate if you follow the show. That would be great. And also, if you go to the website, you can listen with the player that I have on the home page of the website to the evening's broadcast, or there are ways you can get to the archives as well. And speaking of the archives, I'd like to thank all of you who are listening to this or are listening now of this on the archives. So thank you very much for looking up the show and listening in as well. And lastly, I'd like to say before getting to the body of the show, or the beginning, is on the website I have there where people could help out the Republican mascot, which is the elephant. Now, I was recently made aware of a project that is to help orphaned elephants in where they are orphaned by poaching. So people can check out that information on that on the website. And you can find that on the Get Involved page. And you will find a video of an elephant rescue and also a link to where you can help find out how you can help these iconic creatures. And you can find that on the lower left portion of the Get Involved page. Now, tonight I'd like to discuss what I'm sure people have heard of, and there's a lot of talk going about, is Mitt Romney and his choice for Paul Ryan as his running mate if he does get the nomination at the Tampa Convention. Now, tonight we will discuss whether this pick either helps or hurts Romney's support among conservatives, and if this indeed would be the ticket after the convention, would this be a winning ticket, or is this panning out to be a replay of the 2008 general election? Now, of course, those who agree or those who disagree are all welcome to call in at 347-945-7428 to chime in. Or you could just participate in the chat if you're not comfortable calling in. And without further ado to discuss this tonight, we have a gentleman on who I believe needs no introduction. And he has a Blog Talk Radio show from 10 p.m. till midnight and sometimes going all the way through 1 a.m. on Eastern Time. And that would be Samuel Sanford. Yes, this is Sammy. Thank you very much.
Hey, Robert, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're hanging in there.
Thank you for coming to the show.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having it. Do I think Paul Ryan will make Mitt Romney more electable among conservatives? No, I don't. I mean, Paul Ryan has done a few good things, but what, I mean, they passed a couple of his budgets in the House, but what happened to those budgets? They stalled out in the Senate. Harry Reid wouldn't even bring them to the floor. And versus if you were putting Gingrich in there, who passed four balanced budgets? Newt Gingrich. So that tells you there's a big difference between Paul Ryan and Newt Gingrich.
Oh, exactly. Newt Gingrich was able to get things done, and whereas Paul Ryan has not.
Correct. I mean the House has been, for the past 2 years, I think in 2010, I think we all thought we had something good happen. But
mm-hmm.
John Boehner has caved in to Barack Obama numerous times. And Paul Ryan is on that leadership of the House. And, I mean, it's turned out to be the world's. We might as well have Nancy Pelosi in there right now as Speaker of the House. Because, I mean, what has John Boehner and Paul Ryan and these other so-called conservatives done? They have done nothing except cave in to Barack Obama. And that's where Paul Ryan does not excite me whatsoever.
No, go ahead,
I'm sorry.
And I also noticed that back in 2000, well, I did some research, and it wasn't a notice. I noticed that this was early. The announcement was early than it normally is. And actually, in 2008, McCain announced the Palin as his VP pick on August the 29th. And the convention was held, the first day of the convention was held on September 1st. So it was still pretty close. But if you remember back in the day where the announcement of the VP pick didn't even come until after, towards the end of the convention.
Yep, I remember that growing up as a child, and as a young adult. I remember that plainly. And they think by bringing him in early is going to give him a boost. But the constitutional conservative movement out there is not excited about Mitt Romney whatsoever. And I think a lot of people, especially the people from red states that are truly conservative states, they are not they are not enthusiastic at all. And, but if we had Newt Gingrich in there, I think the whole thing would be totally the opposite. I think the conservative base and the moderate base would be fired up.
It looks a lot like the 2000. This election is looking like it's starting to really shape up the way that things did in 2008. So, there's just so many similarities, it seems, in 2012 to 2008. And we know how that resulted.
Exactly.
So I'm concerned that, we're going to be looking at another 4 years of Obama because, this is looking just like it did in 2008.
And let me make this point. Paul Ryan is no Sarah Palin. He's the farthest thing from it. Sarah Palin is a true diehard conservative. Paul Ryan has not established that by his tenure in the House of Representatives. Sarah Palin has been fighting the liberal bureaucracy and fighting against the Republican machine now for years. And she, like I said, Paul Ryan is no Sarah Palin.
No, not at all. And if Palin, and one of my contentions is if Palin couldn't bring McCain over the top, I don't I don't see where the GOP thinks that Paul Ryan would bring Romney to the top. You know,
agreed,
you know, over
100%.
The top. I just don't see where they can think that.
I agree with you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's almost as if they want to lose.
That's how I feel about it. I mean, I feel like the fix is in. That's my personal opinion. The progressives in the Republican Party have banded up with the progressives in the Democratic Party. And that's my personal feeling.
Well, I mean, with all the decisions that the RNC and the establishment has been doing, then, you know, I can't help think otherwise. I just can't help think otherwise.
I agree. I mean, that's all how I can see it. I mean, I can't see it any other way. I mean, that they don't care about their country. When they say they care about the country, I don't believe it.
Yeah, so why do you think that they want to see Barack Obama win another four-year term?
So they can keep on spending the trillions of dollars they are doing every year. They have done nothing to curb the spending. I mean, if John Boehner or Paul Ryan were dead set on cutting the national deficit, why didn't they just shut down the government when they had the chance? Why didn't they do that? Newt Gingrich did it.
Yeah,
I mean,
we turned
Newt
out
Gingrich.
Okay, didn't we? The nation turned out okay after that, didn't they?
Yes, they did. But I mean, John Boehner and Paul Ryan, they were afraid to shut down the government. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't understand. Shutting down the government does not stop the essential government services, as in the military or as in Social Security checks going out and what have you. I mean, it just shuts down all this bureaucracy that's going on. And people were so afraid, well, if they shut down the government, the Republicans are going to lose the House. But show me a real, true blue conservative in Congress, except for a few. I'll give you one of them, which we both, I think, probably admire. That's Alan West. And the gentleman from South Carolina, the African-American, I forgot his name. He is a true blue conservative.
Alan West.
Alan West, there's one from South Carolina. It just got elected in 2010.
Oh, okay.
I forgot his name.
Well, go ahead.
No, but I'm just saying, I mean, we don't have very many real true blue conservatives in Congress. I mean, they've caved into the Rhino machine.
Yeah, and there's an article that Iron Fist in the chat put in. Looks like the title is A Liberals, Liberal Republican. And for the benefit of those who are going to be listening to this on other venues other than where they can see the chat, and also for those who are be listening to this on the archive later, the link to the site to check it out is, I already have a bunch of articles on my browser, so that's why I don't bring it up right now to look at it, because it could, you know, maybe freeze up this dinosaur that I'm working on. But it's http://... www.americanthinker.com/2011/07. It looks like Mitt space, or maybe even an underscore, and then Romney space or underscore, the letter A, and then a space or underscore, and then liberal, LIBERAL, and then underscore or space, and then republican.html. And that they are under, thank you, Iron Fist, those are underscores, but it's all underlined. That's why I was wondering. So those are all underscores, between, not spaces, as underscores. So people want to check that out now or later. As I said, I would bring that up on my web browser, but I've already have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, I already have 7 tabs up on my web browser right now, so I don't want to overdo them.
You want, and Iron, if Iron wants to make a comment on your show, he can also put that in the comment section too, where people, if they click it, open in archive.
Exactly. Yeah. Click it in the also click it in the comments. I guess it's the Facebook comments.
Yeah. No. Not Facebook comments. There's a comment section under Blog Talk.
Oh, okay.
Under your show.
I thought I seen a Facebook thing, and that's fine. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you.
And I saw that article. I think Iron posted it about 2 hours ago. That's an excellent article. I saw it all over. I mean, that man is a working horse out there on posting. And I give him a lot of credit for getting our conservative calls out.
Speaking of articles, Sammy, there's an article that I've seen in the Free Republic. And it says, the title is, "Does Paul Ryan's Record Match His Rhetoric?" Now, this is something that looks like it was posted on Saturday, the 11th. It says, "Increasing R Wisconsin Congressman Ron Paul has become a national media darling. Representative Ryan is consistently being promoted on social media networks and by the Republican Party of Wisconsin and the nationwide free market, quote-unquote, group, Americans for Prosperity. The fact of the matter is, Congressman Ryan voted for the with George W. Bush 94% of the time. So we know he's a party loyalist. That's why Ryan's 2007 Republican Liberty Caucus Liberty Index score, which ranks members of Congress on their voting record from a constitutional perspective, interesting, it says, was 91% on economic issues, but only 56% on social issues. In 2006, the score on the Liberty Index was 66% on economic issues and 67% on social issues. He has scored better on the Liberty Index. His 2008 score, for example, was 88 on both social and economic issues, an impressive score. It appears that when Paul Ryan's party is doing the spending, raising debt limits, and acting unconstitutionally, Ryan goes with the flow. Congressman Ryan's actual record leaves much to be desired. The issue Ryan is most known for is his interest in cutting deficit and balancing the budget. But why did the congressman vote to bail out the auto industry, to pass the Medicare package to the tune of $400 billion, and to nationalize education via No Child Left Behind? Says Paul Ryan on bailouts and conservatives, I'm sorry, Paul Ryan on bailouts and government stimuli voted yes on TARP 2008, and I'll bring up an audio that I have about that shortly. And actually, while I'm bringing it up, why don't I go ahead and bring what Paul Ryan has said in his support of TARP.
Please do.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. I want to thank our distinguished ranking member of the Finance and Services Committee for all his work he's done this week. A lot of us have lost a lot of sleep. A lot of us have looked at this situation. When Secretary Paulson came to us about a week ago, he gave us a 3-page bill that said, "Give me a blank checkbook and put $700 billion in it." I was offended at that time. And so what happened since then? We added 107 pages of taxpayer protection to that bill. We understand the gravity of this situation. And we worked with our colleagues on the other side to make this bill a better bill. We made sure that there's upside for the taxpayers so that when this happens, when profits come to these companies, we get their stock warrants, so the first person in line to get those profits is the American taxpayer so they can get their money back. We made sure that there's an insurance program that makes sure that Wall Street shares in the cost of this recovery plan. And we also made sure that the executives of these companies that made these bad bets don't profit from this rescue recovery plan. We cut the initial cost in half of this bill. Congress will have to approve the second half of this next year. Why did we do all of this? Because this Wall Street crisis is quickly becoming a Main Street crisis. It's quickly becoming a banking crisis. What does that mean? Why does that matter to us? Why does that matter to Janesville, Wisconsin? If it goes the way it could go, that means credit shuts down. Businesses can't get money to pay their payroll, to pay their employees. Students can't get student loans for next semester. People can't get car loans. Seniors may not have access to their savings. Are we standing at the edge of this abyss? Nobody knows. But maybe. It's very probable. Madam Speaker, this bill offends my principles. But I'm going to vote for this bill in order to preserve my principles, in order to preserve this free enterprise system. This is a Herbert Hoover moment. He made some big mistakes after the Great Depression, and we lived those consequences for decades. Let's not make that mistake. There's a lot of fear and a lot of panic out there. A lot of what this is about is getting that fear and panic out of the market. I think the White House bungled this thing. They have brought this issue up to a crescendo, to a crisis, so that all eyes of the world markets are here on Congress. It's a heavy load to bury. It's a heavy load to bear. We have to deal with this panic. We have to deal with this fear. Colleagues, we're in the moment. This bill doesn't have everything I wanted it. It got a lot of good things in it. But we're here. We're in this moment. And if we fail to do the right thing, heaven help us. If we fail to pass this, I fear the worst is yet to come. The problem we have here is we're 1 month away from an election. We're all worried about losing our jobs. And all of us, most of us say, this thing needs to pass, but I want you to vote for it, not me. Well, unfortunately, a majority of us are going to have to vote for this. And we're going to have to do that because we have a chance of arresting that crash. Just maybe this will work. And so for me and for my own conscience, so I can look myself in the mirror tonight, so I can go to sleep with a clear conscience, I want to know that I did everything I could to stop it from getting worse, to stop this Wall Street problem from infecting Main Street. And I want to get on my airplane and go home and see my three kids and my wife that I haven't seen in a week, and look them in the eye and know that I did what I thought was right for them and their future. And I believe with all my heart, as bad as this is, it could get a whole lot worse. And that's why I think we have to pass this bill. I yield.
So what do you think about that, Sammy? The title of that was, he was practically begging to pass TARP. Now, passing TARP is like saying, I want to, you know, save the free market by throwing the free market out the window.
Exactly. And a lot of people out there that don't realize about the auto bailout. Who got saved in the auto bailout? The unions did. The investors in General Motors and Chrysler were thrown to the wolves. They lost all their money. The only people that made money from the auto bailout, which some of that money came from TARP, was the unions.
And I heard a lot of us that was end up paying for pension plans as well. They're going belly up from their exorbitant pension plans that these car industries had.
Exactly. And if General Motors and Chrysler had been allowed to go into bankruptcy and restructure, that would have done a lot better than the U.S. government bailing them out.
And then it wouldn't have been on the taxpayer dime either.
Right, exactly. And now Government Motors still owes us a lot of money, and I don't think we will ever recoup that money.
Well, that goes on to, you know, and that's the first, even just the first part of the article I was reading. So, you know, so we got to, you know, we're trying to, you know, and I had somebody actually this week who, or this weekend rather, who said, you know, on Facebook, accused me of being a DNC operative. So I'm a DNC operative now, which I'm not. You know, anyone here who's heard my shows or listened to the archives, no, I'm not. You know, I want to see Obama beaten any, you know, just as bad, if not worse than a lot of people, because I'm still, you know, fighting for, you know, ways for the GOP can actually still beat him in, you know, in November. So, you know, in a way we're trying to, you know, save the elephant. And the reason why I bring that up is, you know, one thing I'm trying to make people aware of, you know, part of the shows is I found out about an organization last week that is looking to help orphaned elephants who have been orphaned from poaching. And, you know, it's something, you know, I've got some passion about as well. So, you know, I'd like to see if people, you know, could go to the website and on the Get Involved page. Of course, there's a lot of things that have to do with this campaign or this election. It has a lot to do with broker conventions and other news. But I also have a slot on there where it talks about, you know, helping out these iconic creatures and, you know, helping them out against the illegal poaching going on over in Kenya. People just could check it out on the website. It's on the bottom right-hand corner or bottom right-hand corner. It's got a video there that's real cool. They're rescuing one of these, elephants on there. So if people just go to the website, you know, check it out. As I said, it's on the Get Involved page.
You know what I was called by a former Herman Cain supporter?
Well, I can only imagine.
I was called a sore loser.
Oh, yeah, we've gotten that a lot, too.
And I said, it's nothing about being a sore loser. It's about saving our great republic. And Mitt Romney is not going to save our great republic.
Right. Well, and you know what? And back to what we're talking about here, it doesn't look like, you know, him picking, you know, Paul Ryan's going to help either, because they continue on with that, you know, that article and says he also voted yes on economic stimulus, H.R. 5140, and then 2008, but yes, on $15 billion bailout, as we mentioned earlier, for GM and Chrysler. And also it says, you know, Paul Ryan on entitlement programs, they have a whole list here. And what I'm going to put in the chat for those who'd like to see this and maybe check it out themselves, and then I'll read it off for the people who are listening on other venues or are going to be listening to this on the archives. Here is a link of where I'm getting the information that I'm reading from the article. And it's for the benefit of those listening, as I said, on other venues and those in the archives. It's http://www.freerepublic.com/focus/f-news/291779/posts, P-O-S-T-S. And that's where, you know, the link is to the information I'm getting here about Paul Ryan. Go ahead, Sammy.
No, I was listening to you. It's plain and simple. If you're a constitutional conservative, Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are not it. And you want a broker convention. If you want to support Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, that is your constitutional right to do it. I will never, ever support either one of them. I will never vote for that ticket. And as far as I'm concerned, they're swimming in the ocean with the vicious.
Joining Silver Tuna, right?
I mean, they're their candidacy is dead to me. Not them physically dead, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But their nomination or being the presumptive candidate, he can be the presumptive candidate all he wants. But I will not support it nor endorse it.
Well, and also, I'm going to go back here to the chat, which I like to do. And one thing I just remembered to bring up for those who have signed on as guests, I appreciate you coming to the show. And if you'd like to chime in, you could either call in at 347-945-7428. Oh, I almost had a brain freeze there for a second. To call in, or if you would like to sign in into Blog Talk Radio, in which you would be able to engage in the chat so you could talk with other people. And also, at times I'll go to the chat and I'll read what we have in there. And speaking of that, I'm going to do that. And I have Iron Fist again chiming in, says, yeah, he has been called a progressive. Whoop, chat went up. I have to scroll that back. Yeah, I have been called a progressive by the Mitt folks, too. After all the lies Romney told to purchase where he is, refusing to let key conservatives speak at the convention, can't alienate folks and then say, vote for me. Romney is a rhino, and I vote for conservatives. That's my right as America, as an American. And since he brings up about people calling him a progressive, I would like to play a very short clip for folks that I have here. I wasn't planning on playing it here tonight. But since the gentleman mentioned that he was called a progressive, even though he is fighting for conservatism or libertarianism, here's someone who has already said that they are a progressive.
Romney's all-day bus tour made a stop in Worcester this afternoon, where supporters gathered to cheer him on and rally the troops to get out the vote. Voter turnout is expected to decide this race, with a large turnout expected to help Romney. With that in mind, the campaign has set up 38 phone banks and targeted 150,000 undecided and unenrolled voters to receive phone calls. Many Democrats say a tie in the polls gives the edge to Shannon O'Brien because she has that statewide organization, including union and minority support. But the Romney campaign says that support is overrated and is eroding. They point to the recent endorsement from El Mundo, the largest Spanish-speaking newspaper in the state.
I think the old, standby definitions of who votes for which party have been blown away in this campaign. I think people recognize that I'm not a partisan Republican, that I'm someone who is moderate, and that my views are progressive, and that I'm going to go to work for our senior citizens, for people who've been left behind by urban schools that are not doing the right job, and so they're going to vote for me regardless of the party label.
So, Iron Fist, while others say you are a progressive, fear not, my friend, fret not, my friend, because this man that you just heard, and his name is Mitt Romney, has said it himself. And there is some authoritative source. There is an authoritative, I can't even say that.
yeah, you heard it from the horse's mouth.
Exactly. And there it goes, where he says, his views are progressive. And some are actually even claiming that Ryan himself is somewhat of a progressive. That goes for further research on my end. But if anyone would like to chime in on how Paul Ryan is progressive, that's fine. But that might be what Newt Gingrich was talking about when he was talking about Paul Ryan and social engineering.
Exactly.
So that might have been something that Newt Gingrich was already starting to point out.
And I'm tired of people saying that we're trying to divide the party, we're trying to get Barack Obama reelected. I am doing the opposite. I'm trying to make sure we get a constitutional conservative in there that can get elected. Plain and simple. And I know that's what you're doing too, Robert.
Indeed. And I also have here that Let's see. It says Congressman Ryan, back to that article, it says Congressman Ryan supports the United Nations, the World Trade Organization, federal bailouts, increased involvement in education, and it goes on, you know, stimulus spending and foreign aid. And there's definitely things here that, you know, I said that the libertarian end would definitely be talking about.
Agreed.
So,
I mean, but
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just reading the chat. Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate you coming in this evening. So, anyway, you know, I offered for, you know, some other people. Hopefully, they call in to chime in. I did have one lady who said that she believed, you know, that I've seen on Facebook, where she said she believes that in Paul Ryan, all these Pauls and R's and Ryans and Romneys, that's how I get you. But, you know, who actually said that, you know, she said that Paul Ryan would actually help the ticket, and I offered for her to come on to the show so that she could discuss to us and, you know, explain why she believes that Romney would help. And I do open that up if someone truly believes that, that, you know, Paul Ryan would help with conservatives, you know, would help Mitt Romney get the support of conservatives. Please call in and, or, you know, or bring up in the chat why you think this is the case. I'd, you know, like to hear. I don't think he will, for multiple reasons. And I've always said from the beginning that if Romney would indeed get the nomination and he didn't put Newt Gingrich on that ticket, I know one vote that he would lose, and that vote would have been mine. So, and I also know that there's Ron Paul supporters who are saying the very same thing. So I think him picking Ron or Paul Ryan, you know, to be on, you know, on the bottom part of the ticket, I think was a very bad move for many reasons.
If he had any chance or hope of being elected, he would have had to put a constitutional conservative on there, in which he failed to do, plain and simple. I mean, Paul Ryan does not energize me whatsoever. It's just the same old good old boy network.
Right.
That's all it boils down to.
But one of the problems that it seems, you know, that Rick Santorum had was then when he said he was taking one for the party. And a lot of conservatives did not like, you know, or saying, oh, well, I'm taking one for the party. You know, Paul Ryan is just as guilty of that as anyone else. You know, just taking one for the party, as you have seen, you know, or at least in part by, you know, what I read from that article.
But and when Newt came on the show the very first time he came on my show, Newt pointed out that when Rick Santorum went from the House of Representatives to the U.S. Senate, Newt left there with balanced budgets. When Ricky Santorum got to the U.S. Senate, he voted to raise the deficit his whole tenure in the U.S. Senate. And Newt pointed that out very plainly, and if somebody would like to hear it on my show tonight, I will replay the clip. I mean, Newt nails Ricky Santorum. And, yep, and you're right, Robert. He said he took one for the team.
Yeah, and he would say that a lot. I mean, I know that there's a perception out there that Paul Ryan is indeed a conservative, and I know that Paul Ryan really got hammered. Now, he was to my understanding, he was a candidate who they said was throwing grandma over the cliff, right, or whatever, out of a wheelchair. And I think that's where Paul Ryan got it. I mean, really, I think that's where he got his, you know, name to fame, is because of that commercial. And I believe that, you know, they think, oh, my gosh, well, if he's getting attacked, you know, if he's getting attacked by, you know, the Democrats, he must be a conservative. Well, I mean, Romney's getting attacked right now by the Democrats. Does that make Romney a conservative? No, it just makes him a Republican. You know, so
right.
That just, you know, just because it's Romney well illustrates, is just because you're Republican doesn't mean that you're a conservative.
Well, my question, John McCain found out in 2008 by not calling out Barack Obama on several issues, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, Resco, Reverend Wright, and Mitt Romney is falling into the same trap. Now, why is the man afraid to call out Barack Obama on the truth? And you don't hear Paul Ryan mention any of this stuff either in the U.S. House of Representatives. Why aren't these people calling them out on these things? Why aren't they making a point about when Michelle Obama said she's finally proud to be American or something along that line?
Well, yeah, she said for the first time of her life she's proud to be American.
Yeah, I mean, and so why is this ticket of Romney, Ryan not calling out Barack Obama? They're afraid to, because I know Mitt Romney's afraid to release his tax returns. They're afraid of his connections to the Mormon Church or the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's not that really shouldn't be an issue, because then they could come back and rock it.
Yeah, there's much more things that you can get Romney on than that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you're bring up something that's a good point. I found a post today on Facebook, and they said I could go ahead and read it on the show. I thought maybe there would be somebody would be willing to, you know, come in and call in and what their post was or read themselves, but they said it's okay if I did.
Okay, please share.
It says, "Delegates, who will own us?" And it was August 11th, 2012. Okay. And here is what it says. It says, "Once upon a time, I believed the RNC elite possessed some vestigial shreds of patriotism. I was wrong. What has become painfully obvious, especially over these last few weeks, is that those of us who still believe in America and her importance are actively being deceived by the creators of the greatest political Ponzi scheme ever conceived, specifically that a Massachusetts liberal whose health care scheme was the blueprint for Obamacare, would lead us away from the brink of total government-mandated control over every aspect of our lives. This is not the plan. Both the RNC and DNC believe that our rights as individual citizens have been successfully overcome via legislation, judicial activism, and out-of-control regulatory agencies. This election is therefore not about freedom, liberty, jobs, the economy, national defense, or any of these very quaint ideas. Not for a moment. This election is very simply about which side will own us. Mitt Romney handily represents the corporate oligarchy. Obama remains the socialist in chief. Each choice is a literal disaster, not just for America, but for every freedom-loving person on the planet. Our only option is a brokered convention where the delegates, most of whom are freedom-loving Americans, can exercise their right under their existing RNC Rule 38 to choose an appropriate nominee to run against Obama. Dr. Gingrich has been unwavering in his support of America. He knows the Constitution, our rich history, current events, and many world leaders. Dr. Gingrich would not require months to become accustomed to the job. He's seen and done D.C. before. More than ever, We need a skilled and dedicated person to lead us through these frightening times. Most of all, we need an American fighting for America and not corporatism or socialism. Delegates, it's up to you. Fight the Ponzi scheme. Choose wisely. Choose Newt for...
Amen. I saw that post earlier today, and she did an awesome job right now. Are you there? Hello? Hello? Well, I guess Robert maybe got knocked off the air. And I saw that post on Facebook, and the young lady that wrote it is awesome, and I agree with it 100%. We cannot shut up for Newt Gingrich. We cannot back down. We have to stand for conservative values, and I actually add this to it, constitutional conservative values. Are you back, Robert? We cannot shut up, and we cannot back down, please, people. Keep fighting. Don't give up the good fight.
Exactly, exactly. My phone went blank. I think that the Romney campaign somehow got to my phone and decided at that moment to shut up. I'm just joking. I'm just no, what it did is I I'm just joking. Let's see.
But that was an excellent post by that young lady. I saw that probably 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago. One of the Newt pages, and I completely agree with that young lady 100%.
Yeah, it was pretty. I mean, when I read that, I figured, you know, I have to share that because that was a very profound, well written, and you know, a very well said, you know, article that really, really hits to the point and really is telling of what we are actually facing here. And I'm just saying that, you know, no more time than I do now have I felt, of course, you know, I've always been a Republican, you know, ever since I was a kid, but I've never felt so strongly that, at least in this election, that a Republican victory is so important for not just the Republican Party and the advancement of, you know, the Republican, you know, platform, but also for America, because what we face. But if we replace Obama with someone who's pretty much just like him, or try to have someone who's just like him run up against him, and the Republicans lose, then where is that going to get us? I mean, the convention is within a matter of weeks. I mean, it's, what, 3 weeks away or 2 full weeks away?
Yep.
So
something like that.
Right.
People will be arriving in Tampa on the 26th.
On the 26th.
Today's the 12th, so you're 2 weeks away?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's about 2 weeks away. So, but I've got someone on the line who could call it in, so I'd like to let her in. I'm going to keep the line open, Sammy. And
okay.
for those of you who frequent the show, and I thank you very much for being regular listeners, and for the new people, if you like what you hear and you like on the show, please follow the show. And the way to do that is to go to the homepage, and there's a little follow button underneath the icon. If you could just press that and follow, that would be great. But at this time, I would like to bring in from Alaska, Barbara Haney.
Well, Robert, before you bring her, I got to run, go eat dinner, and get ready for my show. And hey, Barbara, love you dearly.
Hey, Sammy. Sammy, I'm not going to be on tonight. I'm going to go see the fireworks.
Oh, awesome. You enjoy yourself.
Fireworks in Alaska, that's going to be neat.
Yeah,
well, probably
yeah.
Barbara down there raising hell.
Is it still going to be light outside then?
Well, they've gone ahead and scheduled it on a we have about an hour, maybe not even an hour of darkness, so that which everybody else does on the 4th of July, we will be doing tonight.
Oh, I see.
It's kind of, well, God bless y'all and keep on rocking.
Thanks, Sammy. Thanks for calling in.
It's kind of our end of summer celebration. So, anyway. Funny question about Paul Ryan, if anybody's interested or cares on what I believe.
Well, of course we do.
I mean, I'm just one person with an opinion, just any other citizen. So I think what's going to happen, and I told a couple people this before, I said, look, just give the Romney people their couple days of hay in the sun. It is unprecedented that a vice president is announced so far ahead of the convention. Clearly, this is a desperate act on the part of the Romney campaign to pick up momentum, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And decision to have Paul Ryan was made back in April. So, I mean, maybe even before then. So it is very clear in my mind that a lot of the timing of this, they had to have moved up the because you have never before ever seen the vice presidential pick move this far up.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, think about it. Have you ever seen that before? No. And in fact, the vice presidential nominee has to go through the nomination process just like the president, the presidential nominee. So clearly and obviously, this is, you know, this is huge. First, it suggests that there is no more pretense about the delegates being a deliberative body. It suggests there is no more real intent upon whoever we pick to have anything that resembles a representative republic or a representative democracy, which is what a republic is. It's unprecedented by any stretch of the imagination. So that is something to really, really give due consideration to. I regard it as almost the death of the republic. Okay, I mean that's how I view it. If the delegates have no authority, if their vote is irrelevant, if they have no impact or any voice to say, then really it is no longer a deliberative body, and it's a convention more like a trade show rather than a deliberative body. Now, it's not a Republican trade show, mind you, okay? It's just let's not have the pretense then of it being a deliberative body and let whoever wants to come, as opposed to going through this whole dog and pony show of picking delegates and sending off representatives to a convention. You get where I'm at? I mean,
exactly.
The Republican Party has to decide what it wants for a convention. And there's nothing wrong with having a trade show, but let's call it a trade show. Have it in January, all right, in the sunny. In the North have reason to go on a southern vacation, or have it in the North when the people in the South want a northern vacation. I mean, let's just be honest about it and get off the shenanigans. Why are we going through this huge, protracted process of debates and picking delegates and pretending that we have a deliberative body when indeed that is not the intent of the Republican establishment to have it all? Okay? I mean, let's just be honest about what we got here. We got a trade show happening. It's not going to be a deliberative body from what I'm seeing. I mean, unless there is something else that is that I'm missing here. I mean, if we're going to have an announcement by the vice presidential nominee and an acceptance speech before the presidential nominee is even nominated and voted on, I mean, good grief. You know, this is crazy. This is insane. And this is going to be addressed, especially after this election, as we move forward. The people of this nation who are in the GOP are going to have to decide if they want these conventions to be truly deliberative bodies. Now, it's one thing to refer the work to a committee, have the committee come out with a recommendation, then you vote or discuss the motions related or pertaining to the committee's work in convention. That's a process that is very similar to what goes on in Congress, okay? But to simply say, well, this is the nominee, live with it, what? Okay, this is nuts. Then what then has become of the whole process? Do you see where I'm at?
Well, yeah, because the very job of the delegates is to pick the best candidate to go up against the opposing party.
Right. And so for me, just watch Paul Ryan. This I find shocking because of all the people out there who have talked about democracy and freedom and all that good stuff, Paul Ryan has been out there as sort of an Ayn Rand type person, okay, who is very much against tyranny and all that good stuff. So for him to buy into this, I find shocking. I find disconcerting. I find just overall scary, all right? And it really bothers me.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he's just playing into the party lines and once again putting party over principle. And I think that's the problem. What's been going on for quite some time is that there's too many, folks out there who are putting, and I'm including politicians, who are just giving up on their principles or giving up, as you said, the long-time processes that we've been using for, getting these people who are, the president nominee or the vice president, and they're just, totally throwing the baby out with the bathwater in order to get their hand-picked person in there. I think they've given all that up. Why they think it's even good for the party to have, like Mitt Romney, when we you've seen the evidence of his poll numbers. You've seen the evidence, in history.
Let's even move beyond that a little bit, Robert. And I want you to give some serious thought to something. If people are going to vote select Mitt Romney or not, okay, if you're a Mitt Romney supporter, and I know there are people out there listening who are, okay, I'm just going to leave it as that. Do you want Mitt Romney, should he win? Now, a lot of people get mad at me when I say that, but listen to me. Should Mitt Romney want his whole administration to be cluttered and to have the specter of corruption around it? Or do you want a clear and solid win? How much stronger of a candidate would Mitt Romney be if he was elected by the overall GOP without any kind of encumbrance of binding and all these other things? If they all rose up and decided to pick him because in their heart they believed that was the best candidate, not because they were being forced into it, okay? When you try to force people into it, it makes you wonder how they'll govern. Is this how he's going to govern? Should he win? And that is something for everybody to give serious consideration. Let's get beyond the policy positions. Let's get beyond the perspective, okay? Obama is soundly defeated. He should not even be on the ballot for a second term, much less have a second term. All right? I am not a Barack Obama supporter. I denounce anything to do with that man. However, as evil as he is not an excuse to do evil back. Two wrongs don't make a right. They just make a whole lot of hate and discontent. And that is something that people have to give due consideration to, and I'm serious about that. And I prayerfully hope that the GOP, somebody there is listening. I know it's very tempting to sit there and say, well, you're just a dissenter, you're a Democrat. And I'm not a Democrat, okay? I have voted a solid Republican ticket since the 1990s.
I had somebody claim that I was a DNC operative this weekend.
No, I mean, call kind of things. Okay? I have voted for a Democrat since the late 70s, so this whole notion is clearly absurd. I have voted for a couple independents because they were in elections where there were no political parties. So everybody was an independent, okay? I mean, our municipal elections here are nonpartisan, presumably. But, you know, of course, I go look at their voter registration, okay? But that's not the point. Here is the point. The point is, you've got a group of people who are trying to force a nomination process, and they are trying to impose in a tyrannical fashion. And they may not think they're being tyrannical, but they are to the voices of dissent. How much more support would they have if instead of imposing tyranny, all right, and imposing a particular set of choices, how much better would it be for them to have dissent? Until yet elect, whether it's Romney or anybody, what are they afraid of? Are they afraid Mitt Romney can't? If Mitt Romney's not strong enough to win the Republican nomination, he's not going to be strong enough to win the general. We better find out now. You know, we better find out now. And to rely on Paul Ryan to come bail him out is simply absurd. And for Paul Ryan to participate in this business clearly diminishes his status as not only a conservative, but also diminishes his, anytime he utters anything in the future about being pro-democratic or anything like that, it's going to be tremendously diminished because he will go down in history as the first vice presidential nominee to be selected prior to the convention and shoved down the throats of the GOP. Whereas he might have even been nominated as the presidential nominee, really, by connecting himself with this administration, has really diminished himself and his stature. And that's what I got to say.
There are those who are saying that Paul Ryan could have really done, you know, gone on to have a really good career. But, with attached on here, and if Romney does indeed get the nomination, and if he does, they will lose. And I think that could very well end Paul Ryan's career.
Well,
I really think it could.
Well, and you know, what's interesting is the people in the Ron Paul campaign have had all this dirt on Paul Ryan for quite a while. And, and it would never have ever come out had not this happened. And now that this has happened, I am hearing people in the Ron Paul campaign coming out with stuff that they have sat on because Paul Ryan and Rand Paul were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just going to destroy Paul Ryan's career nationally. What this will do, because he was preemptive in how he did things, it's not because he was with Romney, okay? It's because he came out ahead of the convention, all right, and came out in the way they did, all right? That's the problem, all right? If they had gone through the convention process, the Ron Paul people probably would have led the charge to put him on the ballot, quite frankly. But because they jumped the shark, they have alienated the very people that Mitt Romney was trying to accommodate. All right? And that's huge. And I don't think Romney gets that at all. I don't think he has I just do not think he has a clue. And they've actually take the one group of people that they were trying to accommodate and alienated them. That is a tremendous political disaster. It's very sad.
You know, what's your thoughts on this, Iron Fist put in the chat? One, Tessa, you know, talking about Ryan being destroyed and probably referring to the information that the Ron Paul people have on there. And then Iron Fist, you know, and I've heard this too, says word is coming out that Obama may replace Biden with Hillary Clinton.
Well, that's been rumored for quite a while. I don't think it'll happen. I think Hillary's done. I think she's, if you watch her as Secretary of State, she is clearly having fun. She's not really into the down and dirty of policy anymore. She's done. She's ready to go have fun. She's tired. I'm sincere in that.
I think she is too.
Yeah, I she's done. Right now, she's just having her last world tour and having a good time. And I don't know, if I could choose, I would too. I think she's done. I think she's had it with politics. I think she's ready to have a private life, you know, in the last remaining years that she does. And, you know, they've got their money. They've done well, and they've made their impact. She never was able to ban guns, but I think she's all down with that. And she can at least say that she gave it the good old Rodham
try. Good old college try.
Try. But, you know, I think she's pretty much done, I'll be honest with you. I think what she's gone through in her attempts at diplomacy in the Middle East and the protests she's met, I think they've pretty much soured her on a lot of her positions that she's held in the past. And she's stuck in an administration that isn't going to allow her to change her views. And so she's just going to have to go down. Yeah, I mean, she's just going to fade out. I really, if she were to accept substituted with Biden, I would be totally shocked. That would be antithetical to everything I've seen of her. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I could see Barack Obama going down and picking somebody in the Democratic Party who is in the South, okay? I'll be honest.
What about Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
No. She's ridiculous, and he knows it.
I'm just throwing her name out there. Because, man, she's shrill, isn't she? Oh, my God.
She's
ridiculous in that woman.
There would be no credibility in having her. She is there so that we have somebody to make fun of, okay?
I'm just saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek.
No, they actually pick people that they can, that give the right to make fun of, okay? We had it with Wiener, and we have it with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. If he was going to pick a serious running mate, well, that would be the person to look at. And if I was Barack Obama, that's who I would be tapping. All right.
It kind of broke up a little bit when you said the name.
I would be getting Lynette Landrieu.
Okay.
That would give him the Southern conservative blue dog base that he needs to pull off a reelection effort. Okay. Oh,
well,
you know, he could. The other thing he could do is he could pull a Lincoln, and he could pick a Republican, Rhino. Okay,
like
Lincoln.
Mitt Romney. Maybe an Obama Romney ticket.
Well, you know, Abe Lincoln had to run for a second term with a Democrat, with a Southern Democrat, right? So, yeah, I don't know if you realize that Andrew Johnson, his second running mate, was actually a Democrat. The Republican Party had walked out on Lincoln. The radical Republicans, they walked out of the convention and formed their own party. Right? Had to go to the Democratic Party and form a consensus with them, and that's how Andrew Johnson ended up being his running mate. Now, and he was a Democrat. So, you know, now looking at Barack Obama, you know, he could find somebody that was of the same mold as Dick Lugar. Now, I'm not saying he would pick Dick Lugar. Dick Lugar's way too old. But he could pick somebody of that mold, okay, from a high electoral vote state. I mean, he certainly would not pick Daryl Issa. We can all be assured of that. But, you know, a Lindsey Graham type person, or, you know, a Hunt type person. You remember, Hunt's been speaking at the Democratic National Convention. I don't know how many people are aware of that or not.
Yeah,
okay?
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well, yeah, because he was the ambassador to China for Obama, right?
Right, and you know, he is Mitt Romney's. If Barack Obama were to pick Huntsman as his running mate, you know, whoa, would that not give people a pause?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
certainly.
Then what would happen to the Mormon vote? Not that it's that big, but it would be split, wouldn't it?
I would guess. I didn't know that Huntsman was a Mormon.
Well, I would assume he is. He has given that impression. I mean, I've never interviewed him, but, you know, and he's Mitt Romney's cousin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the part I missed. I didn't know that they were related. That's interesting.
Yeah, they're third cousins, and they know it.
Oh, that is interesting.
They are actually they might be second cousins. They're as close relatives to each other as Barack Obama is to Dick Cheney, okay? I mean, they're So it could be a very, very interesting process. I mean, just think about if Barack Obama did pick Huntsman. Yikes.
Yeah, that would be. That would definitely be something else. That'd give a lot of people reason to pause, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it might enhance Romney's electability, though, if Barack Obama did that. I think, though, if he went down and got himself a Democratic version of a Sarah Palin, like Lynette Landrieu, that would really alter the parameters of the ticket. I don't think he will. Lynette Landrieu, she probably can switch parties and be done with it. She's more conservative than most of the Republicans.
Wow.
The pro-life separates her from the Republican Party, you know. But what I find remarkable about Huntsman is that, you know, he is very – pro-life is probably the one issue that has defined him as a Republican. And for him to even be willing to consider talking at the Democratic National Convention is quite stunning, wow. So all I can just say is, wow. And he should learn a lesson from Jim Whittaker in Fairbanks.
Well, speaking of the convention, I'm going to read something here real quick to you, and I'm sure you've already heard about it. But after I read this short little article here, I'd really like to ask you to chime in if you may. If not, that's fine. It's CNN, as I'm sure you heard, is Gingrich's unconventional role at the Republican convention. It says here, former House Speaker, go ahead.
New University, yeah, he's going to run it.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Yes, his former House Speaker, Newt Gingrich, says he won't speak in primetime, which I'll make some comments after I read it. Won't speak in primetime at the Republican convention in Tampa, Florida, later this month. Instead, the former GOP presidential candidate and one-time rival to presumptive Republican seat, they put presumptive Republican nominee Mitt Romney, tell CNN's Wolf Blitzer that it will hold daily public policy workshops for delegates attending the convention. Says, I'm working with them right now on a project that I think you'll love and has a lot more time than just an evening speech, Gingrich said Wednesday in an interview on CNN's The Situation Room. We're going to have a very large amount of time working with the delegates and doing things, said Gingrich, adding that the series of afternoon workshops will be announced in Tampa in the near future. Gingrich said he's held similar seminars at previous Republican conventions dating back to 1984. Gingrich told CNN he was in communication with the Romney campaign regarding his role at the convention, says he'll be more than visible in Tampa. Trust me, anybody who wants to see me will have more than enough opportunity during the convention. I'll probably have more total time than anybody thought possible, Gingrich said. And then he just finishes it out. But
sounds like a plan to me.
I think that's interesting. And also, you know, that he is the one who's going to be, you know, spending all this time with the delegates. And one of the comments when he's talking to the delegates, you know, they'll really show and really think, oh my gosh, listen to this guy. This is a guy we really need to have in there to be the presidential nominee for the Republican Party, not Romney. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree with you, but I don't think, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, that's all I can say. We'll see what happens. There's three moves right now. There's three efforts. One on the part of some of the Ron Paul people. They have made a third court filing. I don't know how successful it's going to be. They're 0-2 right now. But you know, you just keep throwing mud till it hits, I guess. Then there is obviously us in the Newt campaign are just, you know, out there waving our flag saying go Newt, right? So that's cool. But we haven't really done a lot of an organized effort in the way that some, like, for example, maybe the Ron Paulians have done. In contrast, there There's also the Santorum campaign. They have formed a Christian Jewish coalition. So you have two big delegate blocks, the Santorum supporters, not Santorum, the Santorum supporters, and the Ron Paul supporters, both in agreement to dump Romney. So I think Mitt Romney is going to find himself in quite the pickle, because if these two groups of delegates are as large as I suspect, now it may be only a local, it may only be a group, a vocal small group, I don't know. But I think, you know, between Great, and I think between the Ron Paul people, and I think between the Santorum people, and the other direct mailings that have been going out by various groups and campaigns, I think there could be a clear message here that Romney could find himself in a little bit of trouble. You know, I mean, but then again, you know, like I said, there's this effort on the part of the RNC to make the convention a floor show, not a deliberative body. And like I said, that should give people a pause to be concerned about.
No, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And that issue is bigger than who the candidate is. Because if we allow this thing to become a floor show for the RNC rather than a deliberative body, then we have become the Democratic Party. Okay? The last time this issue was fought, when General Grant tried to get a third term, or I'm sorry, President Grant tried to get a secure for himself, a replay of that, of the stalwart faction trying to force upon the delegates a particular thing. And this is not about, do you like Mitt Romney? This is no longer about, do you want Newt or not Newt or Santorum or Ryan or you know, the janitor down the street. That's not what this is. It's no longer about that for me. What it's really become about is what is going to be the role of the convention. What is the deliberative? Are the delegates deliberators and policymakers, or are they simply people there for a vacation and this is just a trade show? Because if it's just a trade show, then why don't we just open it up and let anybody go? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
why not just charge a fee?
Corruption?
Well, no. If we're going to have a floor show, then why don't we just sell tickets and the people, okay, have little booths, and we can have the little floor shows and the speakers, and, you know, Newt can run Newt U, and why are we bothering with this whole silliness that the delegates have some kind of voice? Let's just dispense with it, because clearly that's not what they intend. Okay, so, you know, in the future, we don't have to have states voting people. We can save that money for local campaigns, all right? And we could just let anybody who wants to buy tickets, and then the RNC can just go about their business selling tickets, and, you know, if another party wants to form, then let them form, okay? I mean, this has clearly become not a deliberative body anymore. Okay, at least in their opinion. They apparently believe that whoever has been elected and spending their own time and money to go there doesn't think they're going to have a difference, that they're trying to prevent that. Well, why would anybody spend all their time and money to go down to participate in a find out that it's a floor show? I mean, it's fine if it's a floor show. Then say what it is, all right? Don't keep up this facade that for some reason or another the delegates matter. All right, and if the delegates think they matter, then they need to rise up and on the first vote abstain and force the RNC to square directly with what the convention is about. All right? That's the reality of it. And if the delegates don't do that, then you'll have lost your party. You'll have lost any kind of impact that it's just become a facade is what it's become. And that's where the delegates, this convention, can make a big difference. Because if you vote abstain on the first ballot and Romney has to go into a second ballot, you have sent a clear signal to him that he cannot govern the way he has been running his If he tries to govern the way he runs his campaign, then we have lost the republic for sure.
Well, and somebody Cindy Kaiser put in a link in the chat, and for the benefit of the people who's going to listen to this on archive later, the people who are listening on other avenues, venues to the show, I recommend going to the site, and it's http://www.buzzfeed.com/ Rosie Gray, /Rosie Gray, ROSIEGRAY/conservative-group-launches-dump-Romney-campaign. And that being said, if I pulled it up, risking this computer freezing, but do you mind if I take some moments to read this a little bit, Barbara? And then I'd like to get what you think on it. Can you man it up? It says, dump Romney. Why campus Republican delegates must dump Romney to defeat Obama. A manifesto. It says, a group called Jews and Christians Together, which backed Rick Santorum in the Republican primary, is sending a memo, and it's blue, so I'm guessing that's a link to the memo, to Republican National Convention delegates, urging them not to vote for Mitt Romney at the convention, even if they're bound to him. The 9-page memo casts Romney's nomination in the direst terms. A press release from the group reads, Dump Romney contends that no delegates are actually bound by law or GOP rule to vote for Romney, and that to win the White House and toss up Senate seats, delegates must exercise the right to conscientiously abstain from Romney on the crucial first ballot, aiming for a stronger ticket leader in subsequent convention voting rounds. And then it goes on. The core of a hard-hitting new 80,000-word book, An Incubating Tampa Insurgency, the entire memo can be read online for free via Amazon Kindle Cloud Reader using the Amazon.com search term Dump Romney. So that's where people can read it. Where frontrunners simply entitled to the nomination, a convention wouldn't be necessary. The texts say, nothing that in trade predictive markets gives Obama odds about 60-40 over Romney, and that the New York Times political analyst Nate Silver projects about 300 electoral votes for Obama, which I've actually calculated something out around there too. And if people listen to the subsequent shows, they can hear where I've talked about the electoral count and did some analysis. So if people want to go in the archives to check that out, go ahead. And it says, rating Romney's current odds around 21%. But I hear you want to chime in on there's more, but go ahead and chime in with what I've read, Barbara.
Well, you know, the in-trade tells it all, right? I mean, that's something that Romney himself touted the whole primary season, and, you know, that Romney would be the nominee. I mean, that was, you know, that was part of what he used to show inevitability. All right, at least his supporters did. How's that? I'm not going to say Mitt Romney personally did, but certainly his supporters used that. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we all know that we were bombarded with intrigue. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, it goes back to this whole gambling thing. The problem here, and again, I know Romney people are going to be upset when I say this, okay? And you can be upset. I had two or three of them upset with me today. There was a graphic image that's floating around that shows Mitt Romney as a wizard casting an evil spell on Obama. And I told them that if they valued and treasured the support of Christian conservatives, they would shut that graphic down and get it off the internet, because that graphic suggested that Mitt Romney was a wizard, okay? And that would, and while they may not like the fact, while they may not like Obama, I certainly don't, Barack Obama is very good at portraying himself as having Christian credibility. Now, I asked him, Christian, what did I say? I said he's very good at portraying himself as a Christian, okay? He has an evangelical base. I don't see how they can be fooled, but they do believe him to be a Christian. They don't think he has time for church or something. I don't know, but they do believe him to be a Christian. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole debate whether Barack Obama is a Christian, a Muslim, or an agnostic or whatever. I'm not going to go there. The fact of the matter is that there are people out there who do buy into the notion that Barack Obama is a Christian, okay? And for the Romney campaign to use this kind of Harry Potter meme with Mitt Romney does more to alienate Mitt Romney from the conservatives than any other act that Mitt Romney can undertake. Christian conservatives are already upset that Mitt Romney was silent on the Chick-fil-A thing. Christian conservatives are already upset that Romney has associated himself with Chris Christie, who appointed the first Sharia judge in the United States. Conservative Christians are already upset that he has picked Paul Ryan as a running mate, not because they don't like Paul Ryan as a fiscal conservative, which the Ron Paul campaign disputes, by the way, but it's also because Paul Ryan is a follower of Ayn Rand, or has been up until the time that he was selected as a vice presidential nominee. Ayn Rand was, without a doubt, an atheist. And conservative Christians, that resonates. A big stay away from it. Because Christians like to argue the case for free markets, for policy, with the initial premise that Bastiat begins his book with. Life is a gift from God. Our rights flow from God, not from the state. And this whole notion, I mean, and you heard it with Paul Ryan, all right, in his opening statement, in his presumed acceptance speech that he gave on the USS Wisconsin in Virginia a couple days ago, when he said, your rights come from nature and God. Now, wait a minute. Do my rights come from nature and God? If they come from nature, my rights come from, like, what, the squirrel in the tree? Hello? I don't think so. They come from God. All right? They don't come from the moose that's licking the salt lick in the front of my house. My rights don't come from the moose that's eating my cabbage out in the garden as we speak. My rights come from my creator, from that thing, the king of the universe that I call God. And if Paul Ryan is going to argue that my rights come from nature, then I have to wonder, what sort of Christian is he? He's certainly a Christian that comes from a strange church, because I have never in my life read a treatise by a Christian that suggested that my rights came from nature. That's like saying my rights come from a rock. A rock is part of nature. That's like saying my rights come from the bear out. That's not where my rights come from. All right? And anybody who's a Newt Gingrich supporter would certainly have heard Newt repeatedly tell you that your rights come from God. Even the Santorum supporters believe that their rights come from God, not from nature. Even the Ron Paul campaign, the Ron Paul delegates believe that their rights come from God, not from nature. So for Paul Ryan to have made that statement was certainly quite remarkable, and it reflects his background, his entrenchment in the secular humanist world. And there is no way, with running around making that statement, that he is going to endear himself to the Christian conservative base.
Wow.
Am I making sense here?
Oh, yeah, I'm listening intently to you, yeah.
some people came out with Dump Romney after they heard Paul Ryan. It's, you've got two forces here. The first force is, whoa, wait a minute, this dude's no Christian, okay? And the second force is, whoa, dude, we haven't even had the convention.
Right.
Is this the death of the Republic? Did I just witness the death of the Republic?
Very well, if they're using these kind of tactics, and you're right. Yeah, but I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, it's like a dog and pony show, you know, anymore at these conventions. You know, it's like a big, you know, a big commercial, and this time it looks like with the speakers that they're talking about being there, it looks like it just could be a big rhino love fest.
Well, I call it the Rhino Review, but that's
there you go, the Rhino Review.
Well, but no, but why not just be honest and say this is a Florida? Why are we making, why are we pretending that this is, you know, anything other than it is?
Exactly. And speaking of, I'm going to, if I may, I'm going to finish the rest of this article here, and there's only a little bit left.
Right.
It says, the memo doesn't specify who Romney should be replaced with. A core of Ron Paul supporters have been the only organized Republican opposition to accepting Romney as the nominee. But Paul campaign manager Jesse Benton told BuzzFeed that the memo had nothing to do with them, calling it disgusting and highly inappropriate. I don't know what they mean by that myself, but maybe you can chime in on that. Instead, it's a brainchild of Steve Baldwin, the former chief of the Council for National Policy, a low-profile, well-connected conservative group. Baldwin said the memo was sent out to 20,000 people in politics and media, as well as RNC delegates. We're just saying, and this is one thing I want to emphasize, we're just saying that Romney has so many liabilities that will be exploited by Obama, Baldwin said in a phone interview. I don't have a problem with Mormons personally, but it is a liability issue among evangelical voters, Baldwin said. Baldwin said that the people who put together the memo are supporters of different primary candidates, including Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum, and Newt Gingrich. And she said Baldwin is a Bachmann supporter. Says Jews and Christians together briefly made the news in March for putting out robocalls in Ohio on Rick Santorum, the then still a presidential candidate. The call accused Romney of supporting an open homosexuality in the military, the appointment of homosexual judges, and the ENDA law, making it illegal to fire a man who wears a dress and high heels to work even if he's your kid's teacher. The memo is accompanied by an expanded 100-page version available on Amazon. There you go. Go to Amazon and check this out, people. Okay, folks. It devotes a lot of space in attacking Romney's Mormonism as hostile to America's monotheism and heteromonogamy. There's even a picture of Brigham Young. Well, that's not unnecessary. That's the article, and I believe it tells of what you were talking about earlier. What you were talking about earlier,
right?
Well, you know what? I'm finding a lot of.
Mm-hmm. What
is there's not just you've had so many groups that are coming up to coalesce. You've got the Jews and Christians coalescing together against Romney. They're starting to be where you have conservatives and libertarians who are coming together in coalitions against Romney. Throughout the whole primary process, there was the Anybody But Romney group. So, it's so clear that there's so many people who don't want Romney, okay, and that he's weak, and in that, you have the RNC and the establishment doing everything they possibly can to prop up this candidate that it sounds like a large portion, if not the majority, of Republicans do not want. I mean, you know, I've had people call me, I'll give a little short story here. Yesterday, I had the, and you might be familiar with these people, and I think you probably are, the Republican presidential committee call me yesterday, and they played a clip. They played an ad that they're going to do, talking about Obama. And they mentioned, and, you know, it was an anti-Obama ad. And then they asked me, well, you know, as a, you know, staunch conservative voter, blah, 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 you know, well, you could critique the audio or the ad. I said, sure. I said, you know what I liked best about that ad? It was no mention of Mitt Romney. And then, you know, we went through a conversation. But one thing that she said that I'm hearing a lot of, well, I've actually almost to, you know, unanimous, is, well, Romney wasn't my first choice. You know, I have not talked to anyone who has said, well, Romney's my first, maybe one person who said Romney's, you know, was my first choice. You know, but they've been so led to believe by places such as Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and others that, one, that Romney's truly a conservative, or two, if he's not quite a conservative, the only one who could beat Obama, which I think is really starting to show out that that is certainly not the case.
Well, I'm not going to go there at the moment with can he beat Obama, because I think that's been beaten with a dead horse. I think what's more remarkable about the Dump Romney movement is it did come solidly from the Santorum supporters, and it was something that actually they generated on their own. It did not come with any influence from me or others in the Gingrich campaign. It was something that they came to as a result of prayer and fasting. Was I aware of their effort? Yes. Did I participate in it? No. Okay. I will also tell you that the Santorum people have also sent out their own letters. Again, with them, we had our own deal going on. And it's not an indictment of Romney by any, again, like the Santorum people, it has nothing to do inherently with anything except Romney's electability. I mean, you know, and that's kind of what it comes down to. But it isn't just the electability issue. It is the whole idea that there is no longer a democratic process in place. I mean, they keep talking about voter intent, voter intent, voter intent. Well, what a lot of people in the RNC don't realize, and they should realize it because they got the 15B plans right there, is that in a vast number of states, these delegates are not bound. They never were bound, all right? In their own plans, they're not bound, okay? So, I mean, it's one thing to sit there and try to... Okay, let's put that aside. Oops. You and I have gone round and round about that. There are a small number who are bound. Even if you're a bound delegate, you can still vote abstain. Because abstain doesn't mean that you're voting for another candidate. It just means that you are abstaining from voting.
There
is a legitimate vote when there has been new information brought to light. And I'm going to tell you, over the next couple of days, there's some information that's going to be brought to light. And in that,
real quick, Barbara, I've got someone on, he's been on hold here for a while, so I'm going to let him in. I'm going to keep you on the line, and then once I let him in, and then you can go ahead and go on. I just want to let him in here. So 803, I'm getting ready to get you to the call, and then I'm going to have Barbara finish, and then you can chime in.
No, it's okay. I probably said all I just
803, welcome, and if you want to finish the point you're doing, then 803 can chime in. That'd be great. Thank you. I just want to acknowledge him and let him know that I've seen him there.
Who's 803? Who's 803?
This is Ann.
Oh, hi, Ann.
Hi,
oh, my
Ann.
Gosh, I should have recognized that number. Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How are y'all?
Great. It's great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Ann.
Hey, Barbara, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, good to hear y'all too.
Yeah, so what are you thinking about this whole business?
Yeah, you know, I was really interested in what you're saying, Barbara, because I've not been as involved after Newt suspended his campaign. I had to kind of get back to my kids in real life and focus less on the politics and more on my family, but So I haven't really been in the loop so much, and so I was really intrigued with some of the stuff you were saying and talking about because it really gave me a little bit more hope again. I was starting to feel that, I don't know, you know, that just that most people have, I don't know, just, you know, that I guess have given in to the inevitability of Romney and everything, and so... But, you know, as you are saying, the convention has not happened yet, and I'm anxious to see what does happen there.
Yeah.
The question that Robert was asking, though, about, you know, if Romney does get the nomination and would Ryan help, you know, I do feel in some ways that he would help. I was just going to say only because I think that it's going to boil down to the choice that voters have actually at the polls in November. If Romney does get the nomination and it's Romney Ryan, then they're going to be, you know, many voters are going to be evaluating that choice between the two quote unquote mainstream or, you know, primary party candidates. I think it's just going to be, like many have said, the lesser of the evils, I guess, is how people will be looking at it.
Well, a lot of people aren't looking at it. Well, there are a lot of people definitely looking at it. But, you know, I know there's also a lot of people looking at, like, you know, I'm tired of voting for a lesser evil. I'm tired of voting for evil at all. And a lot of people are just going to say, no, I'm going to go to the polls and I'm going to vote for my representative, but I'm either going to write somebody's name in or I'm not going to fill in any blank for the president election, and, you know, and that's it, because that by their principles, they're just not going to, I mean, in whatever way someone's conscience tells them to vote, that's fine with me. If someone's conscience is to the pull that lever, color in that box, if Romney was then getting the nomination, I mean, that's their right, you know, to vote their conscience. And I'll do the same, but I think there's just so much, you know, that and so many that just will not vote for Romney, and not just a conservative. I don't think independents will either, but go ahead.
No, I mean, that's pretty much all I was.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I could say about Ryan is that he is a fighter. I mean, you know, he has taken on Tim Geithner. He has taken on Barack Obama directly. He has taken on Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You know, he has taken on some of these other folks. And so he is a fighter. All right. You know, that I can say that for him. And he does at least appear to be a fiscal conservative relative to Romney. Is he a fiscal conservative in the traditional sense that we would like? No. But he is more conservative than Mitt Romney. Now, does that mean he will pull Romney to the right? Or will Romney pull Ryan to the left? That's an interesting question, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I call it, you know, I mean, will he be Rhino-fied? You know, and quite frankly, he's going to have to make his way through the RNC handlers just like Palin had to. All right. I mean, the RNC handlers will attempt to muffle him. They will. And they will try to put him on a short leash. And the question becomes, is Paul Ryan of the temperament to tolerate that? Palin couldn't tolerate it. Why do people think Paul Ryan will? Paul Ryan was a Geithner to go fly a kite, if I might use a more polite version of what he said to Geithner. So what will he tell the RNC handlers? Okay.
Wouldn't it be better if he didn't tolerate it, really? I mean...
Yeah, that's true. But and the other thing, people have to understand, there's a band called Rage Against the Machine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a band that is one of the favorites of Paul Ryan. And if you listen to the words of that song, he's not going to be somebody that Mitt Romney can control. So that should make this pretty good. I mean, for the general election season, if because Ryan will be unleashed. He will unleash himself,
mm-hmm.
and then of course you'll have this whole infighting then between Romney and Ryan over messaging, and then that will lead to a lot of that happened with Palin and McCain.
Okay.
You know, ultimately, I mean, I can tell you the moment that McCain lost the election was when he said, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that about Barack Obama. The minute he said that, he lost the election.
Well, this election surely is, so far, turning out to mimic the 2008 campaign in a lot of ways, and we know how that turned out.
Yeah.
I really think that this campaign, and actually I think this one's even worse than 2008, I really do. But I think in a lot of ways, you know, the same things that are going on here are also going on, or also went on in 2008. And it's, you know, it just appears to me that history could yet, without a broker convention, repeat itself again. And that will, you know, give us another 4 years of Obama.
Whose mantra is, wake me when it's 2016. Okay. And wake me up before you go-go. Wake me up before 2016.
Well, let me tell you, I know that I've been in contact and talking with some people who are talking about bringing the conservatives and the libertarians together, like the Ron Paul people and the Newt Gingrich people, and bringing them together, not so much for 2012, but in 2016. And there are serious conversations going on about an exodus of the Republican Party to form a third party, in which they're like, you know what? They said in 1 year, Ross Perot got 19% of the vote, you know, with the first time he ran as a third party, and he was able to do that in 1 year. If you could get a strong person, okay, for 4 years to run as a third party candidate, they're only going to have to get 34% of the vote to win.
Who's that going to be?
They can get 34% of the vote. That third party person can get 34% of the vote. Then history could very well be made. Because one of the contentions is that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are so close together that while they're still, you know, would technically be three parties, it'd be almost be like there's only two because the ideology differences would be there.
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's a whole lot of issues that I don't know what exactly is going to be happening at the convention. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of us who are trying. I don't know how successful we'll be. It is what it is, okay? And we'll just do our best and go. I said before, I'll support the GOP nominee, as painful as it may be. I always do, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm going to go out there and found a third party before November.
Yeah.
But certainly there is talk about what to do about after November. Mm-hmm. There is no question. And we either get a hold of these 15B plans and the party structure after November, or... and radically change this party. You know, I mean, I got to be honest. Alaska is nothing like the rest of the lower 48. Mm-hmm. I probably, if I was in another state, like say Florida, I'm not sure. I probably would have long ago walked away from the party and became a libertarian or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because I look at how that state GOP is set up, and I'm just totally blown away by how that 15B plan is. Certainly, if I was in New York, I would. I mean, I can see why there is a growing libertarian presence in the state of New York, and it's not because the Republican position is bad. It's that the establishment has so sewn up and locked up the process in the fear that a Democrat might sneak through, that they have made it impossible for anybody to sneak through.
Indeed.
You know?
Well, with that said, Barbara, I see that I've only got just some minutes left. And so I want to thank you very much. And I want to thank Sammy for coming in. And thank you, Ann, for coming in. If there's something you want to chime in and say real quick, and then I'm going to go to the closing song.
So, yeah, I just had a question for Barbara real quick. Barbara, are you aware of any kind of an organized prayer effort, like in the weeks leading up to the – when does the convention actually start?
It starts I leave on the 24th, but it starts, I believe I have to look at my calendar, but if you find the 24th and find that Sunday, first Sunday after that, that's the opening ceremony, so that would be the 26th. Okay, for me, it's a two-day flight down there, which people may not realize. They probably can't envision 2 days of flying and sitting in airports, but that there is no direct flight to Tampa from Fairbanks, Alaska. And, you know, a lot of people have to understand that this is a significant expenditure and a significant time investment on the part of these delegates.
Absolutely.
So to send them down, it's one thing if you're going down there and you expect a floor show, but if you're going down there thinking you're being a person who's going to participate in a deliberative body and it isn't, it's going to leave a sour taste in your mouth, really. So moving on, there is a prayer group. I know Charlotte Divey of the Newton Now Network.
Right.
And you probably aren't even aware of the Newt Now Network. We got it off. It was got off the ground, and then a week later, Newt suspended. So there's a gentleman in Florida who has been hosting weekly.
Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Okay. On his, there is a Prayer USA.
Okay.
It's
right.
Hosted by Charlotte Divey, who I believe is in Georgia. I could be mistaken. And she does a kind of a prayer thing. I think it would be better if we had it so that it could be something people could call in on a cell phone, like we were doing. I think that would actually be a larger contingent or a larger component to go after. And if somebody wanted to start something like that, I'm sure there would be a lot of participants.
What?
I'm surprised there already was one by the Santorum people.
Well, Ann, you might be able to actually talk to Charlotte right now, because she frequents Mark Prasik's show, and you can reach that now by going to Facebook.
Going
to your search engine. You know how to get there? Okay.
Yeah, I know how to get there.
Okay, so she might actually be
in
Mark's show now. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Folks, for everybody. Sorry.
Ann and I work so much together on the new thing that I really miss her.
Oh, I know. We used to talk almost every day. I remember that.
Yeah.
And you know what, Ann? I think maybe we still should get that book together we discussed, or not just me and you, but others have discussed.
Yeah.
I think that I still think that would be a good idea. So, with that being said, folks, I got just about a minute and a half. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming in. Thank you, Barbara, for all your information and your input. And thank you, Ann, for calling in. And also, Sammy, when you came in, and thank you very much. And thank you to everyone who came to the chat and contributed to the chat in the conversation. And for those of you listening on archive and, you know, listen to all of it, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And everyone have a good evening and take care, and hope to see you tomorrow. Good night.